Welcome to the Fairhaven Church Sermons Podcast. Fairhaven is a part of Harbor Churches, a multi-site church located in West Michigan, and we exist to help people find their way back to God. We hope this message helps you to take your next step in your faith journey. Thanks for joining us.
Have you ever flown a kite? Have you ever flown a kite? A couple years ago, my mom and I were at Costco. Costco's great. If you've never been, gotta go to Costco. But if you look in the aisles of Costco, they always have fun things to do in the center aisles. And so I'm not talking like a drugstore flimsy kite. I'm talking like a big kite. And so this summer, my family, we go on vacation every year up to Harbor Springs, kind of by Petoskey. And we went to the Petoskey State Park and decided that we were going to fly kites. So I think we have a picture of me and my family. So Austin, my husband, he gets this kite all ready to go. It's this giant dragon, and it takes off on the side of Lake Michigan. And it's awesome. And so my daughter, she's about 2.5. Her name's Eliza. And she loved it for about 32 seconds. Because if you know toddlers, it's like, wow, this is awesome. Okay, like, let me go play with the sand. And so we put all this work in to get this kite up in the air, and Eliza loved it for 32 seconds, but that's okay. If you've ever been on a vacation with kids, I've learned, because people have told me, that they become more of trips. If you're a parent in the room, you might know that. It's more of a trip. It's still a ton of fun, but it's not really a vacation. And we had a really great time. I don't know what summer looks like for you. I don't know if it's the same as the rest of your year. I don't know if you find some time to rest and relax. I don't know if it's super busy. For us, it's been a pretty busy summer. We've been traveling all around. We've had different camps, vacation Bible school, different weddings. My brother and my sister are both getting married next summer, so we've had engagement parties. And just getting excited for what that'll look like. But one thing I know is when you're traveling, there's one question that gets asked a lot. And before I even say it, I bet you know what I'm talking about. Are we there yet? And if you have young kids, teenagers, or impatient adults like myself, that question is something that is definitely either asked or thought about. My favorite is when someone asks that question in the middle of the highway, and you're like, of course we're not here yet. We're still traveling. We're still on the road. Today, we're going to be in the book of Acts, and we are going to see two men that find themselves meeting up on the same road. Chapter 8 of Acts is where we're going to be this morning. Now, I want to encourage you, if you have a Bible, or if you don't, I'm going to ask something of us this morning. There's Bibles in the seat back in front of you. I know the words will be on the screen, and you can definitely follow along that way. But I think there's something special that happens when we get to actually see the Word of God. Apps are awesome, screens are awesome, but I think there's something special that happens. And so I'm going to give you a second to find it. I even went so far as found the actual page for you. So it's 1704. That is the page if you grab the Bible in front of you. 1704. The book of Acts is in the New Testament, so it's right after the Gospels. We have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, which are all about Jesus' life and Jesus' ministry. When we get to the book of Acts, it's really about the birth of the church. We see churches being planted. We see the good news being spread all across the world. Acts chapter 8, verse 26 through 40. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake, which means queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. It's Isaiah 53. It says, "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my baptism?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. So we have two characters in our text this morning. We have Philip, and we have the Ethiopian eunuch. Now Philip, we meet a few chapters before this in Acts chapter 6, and Philip is charged with caring for the widows and the others in need in that time. He's described as somebody that is filled with the Spirit and has wisdom. Now Philip, as they are starting to share the good news of Jesus, a persecution starts to happen. And Philip goes to Samaria, and he starts sharing the good news of Jesus. Now, in our standards, we would say that Philip's ministry was a thriving ministry. People were coming to know who Jesus was. There was real life change happening. So from all world standards, what Philip was a part of was successful. But he's called away, and he goes. And I love what this says about Philip's character, because he immediately trusts what God is going to do, what God is up to. He has no clue what's about to happen. He's doing something great, but he goes. He meets our second character, the Ethiopian eunuch, on the road. Now, this eunuch, we know he would have been loyal, he would have been trustworthy. Because of his circumstances, he would have been trusted with the queen within the royal courts. He held a position of power. He was the treasurer of all of the queen's goods. And so we have these two men that meet up on a desert road. We have Philip, the insider, who's had a front row seat to what God is doing, what God is up to. And then we have the Ethiopian eunuch, who is kind of more on the outside. He has some questions. He has some barriers, which we'll see in just a little bit. But God orchestrates this meeting between the two of them on the desert road. Let's go back to the text for a minute. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way, he met," will you guys say that with me? "He met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of the Kandake. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship." Now, this is important. It tells us he went to Jerusalem to worship. It never says that he actually did. "And on his way home, was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.'" God meets you. Not only does God meet you, he meets me, and he meets this Ethiopian eunuch on the side of the road. Now, this man would have traveled very far to get to Jerusalem. He was, I think we have a map, he was from biblical Cush, the kingdom of Cush, which would be modern-day Sudan. And so he was traveling all the way up to Jerusalem. It would have been about 800 up to 1,200 miles. Now, even if he took 25 miles a day, straight through. This would be about a 60-day trip just to get there, about 120 days round trip. That's if he didn't stop. That's if there's no problems. He doesn't need any more resources. This was a long journey. This man is seeking God. Now, this isn't a person that's down on his luck. He would have been extremely wealthy. He would have held a position of power. And still, he has this earnest desire to have an encounter with God. And so he sets out on a journey. Now, he would have traveled about, like I said, 800 to 1,200 miles just to sit outside. Can you imagine if you got in your car this morning, started it up, drove all the way to like Colorado just to go to church, but not only to go to church, to sit in the parking lot? Because when he got there, what he would have understood about how the temple was set up, and I think we have a picture of that as well, was there were the outer courts and there were the inner courts. Now, the outer courts were a place that any Gentile or non-Jew could be. Now, we know the The Ethiopian eunuch, he would have been a Gentile. And not only that, he was a eunuch. And in the book of Deuteronomy, it tells us that he would not have been allowed in the temple. Now, there's something called a sereg, which is about a 4-foot low-bearing wall that would have stopped him from entering into the inner courts. It would have had something written in multiple languages, something that says the foreigner is not allowed but could be punishable by death. If anything, it's saying you don't belong here. You don't belong here. That little wall is a representation of rejection. Now, I don't know if you have experienced rejection before in your life. Maybe at your job. Maybe there was a role that you really wanted. You felt like you were more than qualified for, and you apply for it, and you get overlooked. Rejection, it's like a wall, it stings. Maybe you've tried church before and you just felt like you didn't belong. When I was in fifth grade, I played soccer. And I say played soccer very loosely, okay? I just liked it. I played volleyball and basketball. I loved sports, but soccer just like wasn't for me. My feet don't work. I don't know. But I played soccer and I met one of my best friends playing soccer. Her parents both worked at the hospital, and so she quickly became a part of our family. She was at family dinners, family vacations. She was always around. If you've ever had the opportunity to have a good friend, you know that good friends are in proximity with you a lot. They get to see the good, they get to see the bad, they get to celebrate the highs, and they're normally there for you in the lows. We were friends for a very, very long time. We went off to college. She went out of state. I stayed locally. And this summer, we normally got to hang out and spend a lot of time together. This summer in particularly, I went to Haiti. And when I got home, we got dinner. And it felt kind of like a weird dinner, but I didn't really know why it would feel weird. As I was getting ready to leave, she handed me an envelope. And she said, read this later. Which, of course, later was about 3 minutes after that when I got in my car. And I opened the envelope, and there was a 3-page letter written to me about why she didn't want to be my friend anymore. My insecurities, things that I didn't know if I loved about myself, all on those pages. Rejection stings. To make it a little bit worse, it wasn't even in her handwriting. Man, that was painful. I wonder what this Ethiopian eunuch was feeling in this moment. Painful. rejection is hard. Did he think he was going to get to the temple and be able to get in to worship God, to experience and encounter this God that he's heard about? The text continues on and says, "Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked." I love that he says he ran up to the chariot. He didn't walk. He had urgency because God runs towards you. Just as this Ethiopian eunuch was seeking God, God was already there, seeking him right back. On his way home, he meets Philip, exactly who he needed to meet at exactly the right time. This summer, we were at Hope College with 30 middle school students, and it was an awesome week. I think we have a picture of our awesome-looking bunch. We had a ton of fun with some really awesome kids. The other leader and I, Ella, one of the female leaders, I should say, we had other leaders as well. We walked back one night for small group. And it was one of those nights that would be really hard to articulate all the conversation that was had, all of the things that were shared. It was a heavier session that night where the speaker shared the good news of Jesus. And we had some girls for the very first time decide that they wanted to follow Jesus. And so our circle was pretty emotional. There was girls sharing things about their friendships, their families, the anxieties of school starting this week. There was one girl in particular that got my attention out of the corner of my eye. She wasn't really super connected with our youth group, but she came to camp. And she kind of gave me this look of, I want to share next. I have something I'd like to say. And so she started to talk about the isolation that she was feeling this summer, that she spent a lot of time alone in her room. It was painful for her to share that, especially in a circle of your peers. And so as the leader, I'm trying to think of like, okay, what do I say? How do I get her to understand that she is welcome here, that she is loved, that she's cared for, you know, going through all these things. And before Ella or I even had a chance to speak back to her, those 15 girls in the circle started to speak life into her. "Oh, we gotta get you in the group chat. You gotta come to our next sleepover. We'll be your friends. You gotta come to youth group. We can be your community." Immediately. I don't think that it was an accident. I think God orchestrated that to happen for her to be spoken into from exactly who she needed to be, from her peers. I wonder if it's the same for this Ethiopian eunuch and Philip. I want to speak to the Philips in the room this morning. To those of you who God might be calling to someone else. There's a quote by Rick Warren that says he's never led an enemy to Christ, only a friend. And that's what we see Philip do here. You normally don't run up to someone that you don't know, but immediately, Philip makes him his friend. Who is it in your life that God might be calling you to? Is it a distant coworker? Is it a neighbor that you never really talk to? Maybe a family member that you've written off? Don't ignore that nudge from the Holy Spirit. It's probably not an accident. Who might God be putting in your path? We continue on to the story. It says, "Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet. 'Do you understand what you are reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. This is the passage of scripture the eunuch was reading. 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.' The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. The good news about Jesus. The good news about Jesus is that God invites you. This is an invitation. A verse that we teach a ton in Harbor Kids, because I think it holds this amount of weight, this amount of good news, is John 3:16 and 17. And it says this: "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." That's the good news that Philip was sharing. The good news is that it's for whoever. I don't know this man's story, and I don't know yours. But what I love that Elizabeth shared in her testimony video today is that we don't have to clean it up. What we can't clean up, we can lift up. That God would make it new. Now, I didn't know much about this story before this morning. I've heard it. I've been at a place that it's been taught before. But this has become one of my favorite stories in all of Scripture. Because it asks the question, if God's invitation is for everyone, what's stopping you? If God's invitation is for everyone, what is stopping you? This is my favorite part of the text. It says, "As they traveled along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, 'Look, here is water. What can stand in the way of my being baptized?' And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing." What can stand in the way of my being baptized? God renews you. As I read that letter in my car, it brought up and bubbled up insecurities in me that I didn't even know I had. It was calling out my character. It made me feel like I could never have a close friend like that ever again, because I didn't want to feel that pain ever again. As I read the letter, I really did not know what my next move was. But I had a youth pastor that I knew cared for me a lot. And I showed up in his office. I'd been out of youth group for a while. I showed up in his office, and I put the letter on his desk. And I said, "I don't know what to do with this." And what he said to me was exactly what Elizabeth said in that video. What we can't clean up, what we don't understand, we gotta lift it up, because God will make it new. God turned those insecurities in my life and in my heart into things that I got to learn from. I got to learn how to be a better friend. I got to have the reminder that I am more than enough. And so I wonder, for you in this room, what's stopping you? Is it doubt? Is it shame? Shame of who you used to be, decisions that you've made in the past, life situations that you walked through? Is it guilt? Is it anger? Is it bitterness? Anger and bitterness will get a hold of you. It'll control your life. What baptism is it is a line in the sand. You are marking a moment, saying the old is gone and the new is here. I want to surrender that to you, God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here." And so this morning, I wonder what it is for you. What's stopping you? Because what God wants to do is he wants to flow through your life with love, grace, mercy, goodness. But he needs you to trust him. And what can happen is that doubt, that shame, that fear, past decisions, anxieties, the feeling of not being good enough, that can clog what God wants to do in your life. He has a purpose for you. He wants you to let go of all of those things. He wants to renew you. And so this morning, if baptism has been on your mind, if you've thought, I need something new, I need to surrender my anxieties, my worries, my doubts, the good news of Jesus is for you today, right now. Not when you clean it up, not when you know more, right now. God has a plan, he has a purpose for you. He wants to work through you. If God's invitation is for everyone, what's stopping you? What's stopping you from getting baptized today? Would you pray with me? God, as we think through the ways that you show up, we are grateful that not only were you searching and seeking this man, but all of us, that you are the same God now that you were then. That in Isaiah, you call us yours. God, for whatever might be standing in the way of someone this morning, from deciding that they want to follow you, that this good news that we're talking about, it's not just for someone else, but it's for them. Whoever believes. In the book of Romans, it says that whoever confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord will be saved. And so I pray for someone in here this morning that has thought about baptism, that maybe knows somebody that's getting baptized, but just doesn't feel like it's for them, that they feel like something is stopping them. I just pray that you would remove those obstacles, that you would remind them that they are chosen, that they are valued, that they are loved, that they are cared for, and that most importantly, they belong to you. There is no outer courts in your kingdom. You are a good father. We pray these things in your name this morning. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Our hope is that you are encouraged and that God revealed a piece of his character to you through this message. For service times or for more information about how you can be a part of Fairhaven, you can visit us at fhchurch.org. Have a great week.